too, and I'm not going to be preaching out of there. Been a good meeting. Enjoying myself. It's been different. Been kind of one. I like it. They're all different. Same God. See a little boy getting saved. Yes. And I just wish you deadheads would get revived. Amen. And you probably wish I would. We wish somebody would. Amen. If we could just get a spark somewhere, we can get close enough to it. And the rest of us, we're dead enough. We've been dead long enough that we probably dried out. We catch right on fire. Amen. Amen. Brother Eastup was talking today. He's talking about some plans next week and things or something. He said, well, I just hope, he said, maybe God get in this thing and break it loose. We just go on. Well, I'd like to go on. I'd like to preach Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I ain't got nothing to do till somewhere around the 18th, and I'm not even really obligated to that. I just want to go down there, Brother Wood's church. But I want to do what God wants more than anything else. But I wouldn't want to stick around and preach just to preach. I'd like to see something happen. I'd like to see us really something get going. I've been searching my heart today and searching through the Bible this morning and tonight. And I want us to look at something right here before I begin to preach. Now, I heard a man do this one time, and I've been asking God for the last 5 minutes, is this, you want me to do this? He said, I want you to do it. I'm not doing this because I heard somebody did it and sound like a fantastic thing to do. But I'm doing it tonight because this is what God wants. There's an old preacher in Alabama, down in Ralph, Alabama, named W.O. Robertson. Never met him, heard his tape several times. If you could ever get him up here, be good. That man, one of the few men that the Holy Ghost comes right off the tape. I kid you not. Everybody I've ever talked to said, you just get around that man and God is in it. He's not a spitter, not a stomper. He just... Dr. Ruckman said there's no thunder to him. It's just all lightning. He just talks very quiet and just puts it out, and you're all cut up when you're done, but he's not mean or nothing like that. He's somewhere around 80 years old, been around a long time, been through a lot of troubles and trials. I'm convinced that that's one of the things it takes to be a real man of God. I'm 37. I ain't been through much. I realize that if I'm going to ever be really what God wants me to be, I'm going to have to go through a lot more than I've gone through. I know that. I don't run from it. I don't look for it. I just wait on God to do what he has to do. Where is that poem? She wrote me another, typing another poem in here. That girl, Trudy, I think her name. He said, one by one, he took them from me, all the things I valued most. Until I was empty-handed, every glittering toy was lost. And I walked earth's highways grieving in my rags and poverty, till I heard his voice inviting, lift your empty hands to me. So I held my hands toward heaven, and he filled them with a store of his own transcendent riches till they could contain no more. And at last I comprehended with my stupid mind and dull that God could not pour his riches into hands already full. God cannot pour riches into hands that are full of the things of this life. Read with me, William, Philippians 2, and 7 and 5, let this mind be in you, it's also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to die. He wants us to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Now, I'm not so much now talking of physical death as I am of you dying, you identifying with that cross and dying to the world and to the flesh, to what you want. That's what God wants out of us. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. Did you ever notice you read back about Joseph, and they put him in the pit, and then the Ishmaelites come along, and they sold him to Potiphar, and it It said he went down into Egypt, down into Egypt, and then the next verse says God prospered him. God lifted him up. God also highly exalted him. We want to exalt man. We want to exalt, like the brother talking about these briars, we want to exalt a church. I believe in the local church. I do. I believe, like Brother Greg, I believe in that local church, and you ought to get in one. You can die outside of one, be saved, be in the bride, go to heaven, but you die disobedient, I guarantee you. You need to be in a good local church. Well, God's also highly exalted him. He's the one supposed to get the glory and given him a name, which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It didn't say every knee will bow. That's how we read it. But it didn't say every knee will bow. And I believe they all will. But it said should bow. That's what it said. I believe they all will. Every knee should bow. His name's already been exalted. His name has already been exalted. Every knee should bow. Things in heaven, I believe right now that the angels and the cherubims are bowing for that name. I believe they do. What was it? No more scribes, and they would copy the scriptures, and what'd they do? They'd make one thing when they was writing the thing for God. I'm so dumb on this, but I remember reading about that. When they'd write that, they'd wash that pen out, go wash themselves off, and before they even went to another letter. Wouldn't it be something if we got up to heaven and found out that every time the name of Jesus was mentioned, they all bowed in heaven? You say, oh, don't be silly. Hey, what do you mean don't be silly? Did you ever think about Jesus? Wouldn't that be something every time, while I've stood here and said that name 10 times, wouldn't it be something every time I said it, they bowed? Somebody else saying it, they bowed. Maybe they're just constantly on their knees. We'd probably have revival if we was constantly on ours. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue, you say will confess, I believe they all will. But God chose that word should in here. Every tongue should confess. Now this word charismatics always foul up. They can never get the scriptures right. It didn't say confess that Jesus is Lord. It didn't say that. It said every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They never can get their scriptures straight. They always leave something out. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12, it said no man but by the Spirit of God can say that Jesus leaves out Christ, but it says Jesus is the Lord. So if you want to put them both together, you'd say Jesus Christ is the Lord. But they never can get the scripture right. Maybe their Bible don't even have that in there. I don't know. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So W.O. Robertson read that one night, and he said, and I'm going to ask you. I'm going to do what he did. I'm not doing it because he did. I'm doing it because God laid it on my heart. How many of you here tonight believe that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord? Amen. How many of you believe that? How many of you ever done it? Why don't we do it? Why don't we get on our knees right now and just say, Jesus Christ is the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then we're going to pray. We'll give you a few minutes. You just say it. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Yes, he is. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's the mighty God. My Father, I thank you this evening for this week. It's been different, been odd, been real. It's been real. And I thank you for that. Lord, I bow my knee to thee now, as I know I will one day. One day, Lord, I will bow these knees without having to unlock these old places. And you'll just give me new knees to bow. Amen. And Lord, that'll be good, because those new knees you're going to give me will never have bowed to anything else. These knees have. These knees that I wear now have bowed to sin. They bowed to my own will, and they bowed to other gods. But Lord God, that new body you're going to give me will never have been defiled with sin, and never will be. Lord, that's a blessing to me. That's a blessing. Father, we come with thankful hearts tonight that we serve the Lord God. We come with thankful hearts tonight that our Savior is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. Lord, I come with a grateful and a thankful heart to have experienced that amazing grace and have been covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, to have been given the righteousness of thy Son. Oh, my God, I'm thankful tonight. I'm glad, Lord, I have a tongue that could even confess Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. God, many places all over this world tonight, there are people, Lord, have no tongue that can confess. Lord, I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful, Father, to be right here in this church. Lord, I'm not thankful because of this church. I'm thankful because of you. I'm where I'm supposed to be tonight. One of these days, I'll be in heaven. That's where I'm supposed to be for eternity. Lord, I pray tonight that you be with us. Speak through me, Father. Touch our hearts. Oh, God, help us tonight see the seriousness of serving thee and loving thee and magnifying thy name, holding forth thy word, and dragging lost sinners from the fires of hell to the glories of heaven. Oh, my God, help us, Lord. I've seen that picture above me, Lord, and they got a man down there crying, praying. And I believe the man probably is pictured to be in earnest prayer for revival. God, maybe we've not been in earnest enough prayer for revival this week. But we bow the knee to thee tonight, Lord, and ask you, if you would, God, send us, Father, revival. Oh, God, help us to be willing to be obedient. Help us, Father, to put aside sin, to put away the strange gods that be among us. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to be willing to live clean and holy lives for thee. God, help us we might be willing to magnify thee in our bodies, Lord, that we might let you work in our bodies and our lives and put us where you want us and do with us what you want to do with us. My God, I know that we stop revival, Lord. Lord, we want to stop it right as soon as the meeting's over at the church doors. We want revival, God, while we're in this building, but when we walk out of this building, then we want to live like we want to live. We'll never have revival like that, Lord. But God, my heart is hopeful that you'll raise up some people somewhere in this land. Maybe, God, be the people here in this church, and they'll say, what we have is not enough. We've not attained. We've not apprehended. But we want to go on and forget what's behind and press on toward the high prize. We want to go on, Lord, and we want to finally get there, God. And Lord, I know we'll never, Lord, I know we'll never be sinlessly perfect till you come and change us. But, oh, God, we ought to be striving to be that way. Lord, help us tonight. Be willing to be obedient, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, God, for revival. But we'd be willing to pay it. God, we live in a dark hour and a dark time. Lord, we need it, Father. This country of ours needs the Christians to be revived. No wonder they mock and laugh at us, Father, for they see a powerless people. They see people that have form of godliness, but have absolutely no power whatsoever. My God, no wonder this country looks down upon thy saints, and we would not want to be in good graces with the world, Father. Lord, we wouldn't want to be in friendship with the world. But God, there was a time when even the world, though it hated, it respected your men, and it respected your women. Though it hated them, Father, and though it did what they could to get rid of them, it respected the stand and the lives that they had for thee. Lord, we need that again. We need it again, Father. Lord, I ask you that you do a work in our hearts. Lord, help us to be yielded to you and be willing, Father, whatever it takes. And I pray and ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Now, I've finished the rest of that. Brother Robertson said that, and he did that in the church, and he said, and they did that. He said, it took a little while, but people began to go to their knees and confess that Jesus Christ was the Lord. Then he said, you know, you should get around some men. They would drag that lovely name down in the mud, in the dirt, and filthy up the name of my Savior. And he said, one time I was with them, and they began to use that name in a derogatory manner. And he said, I just got down on my knees. When they mentioned that name, Jesus, I got down on my knees. He said, what are you doing? He said, you said Jesus. And the Bible said that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And he said, I did that. He said, I did it a couple of times. And after that, he said, those men never, ever talk like that around me again. Now, you wouldn't want to do it out of a haughty spirit. You wouldn't want to do it to put somebody down. You'd only want to do it to exalt Jesus Christ. You'd want to have a right heart and a right spirit doing that. Let me say, if you had a hard time tonight, and if you found that you couldn't say Jesus Christ is the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. If you had a hard time doing that, I seriously question any salvation claims that you may have. A man that would be saved, a man that would claim to be saved and washed in the blood and could not say with his lips, Jesus Christ is the Lord. I tell you, that's the one thing I'll seriously, seriously doubt when it comes to salvation, if a man can't do that. The Lord that saved you. Well, turn, if you would, to the book of Hosea. And chapter 10, it's now 8:25. I've asked God to help me tonight. We don't want to be long, for the sake of being long. We want to do what God wants. If God will permit us and allow us, we'd like to be done in not too many minutes from now. I want revival. But I do know one thing. I know that when the body gets just wore out and the body gets just tired, and I know there's a point when the body fights, and sometimes you need to go on past that point and press the physical need. But I also know that you get to a certain point and that old body just wore out and tired, you're not going to get revived. The devil's going to work on you real, real good. And so we've had a few nights. Hosea chapter 10, and it said this, Israel is an empty vine. Well, that's about the way we are. Christians, you could substitute the word there. I don't advocate changing it. Just substitute. The Christians are an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit to himself. Let me ask you, what fruit did you bring today to God? What fruit of the Spirit showed forth out of your life today for God? And then what fruit did you bring to yourself today? Today, not yesterday, not what you're going to do tomorrow, but today, what fruit did you bring for God? So you're talking about people getting saved? No, that could be, but I'm not talking about that. You had an opportunity today to exercise the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians chapter 5. What fruit did you bring forth today?
Did you have a joyful day in Jesus Christ? The love of God, was it shed abroad in your hearts today? How about meekness and temperance? And now that I've messed the list up, I have a hard time getting them all, but faith, meekness, and temperance, and love, and joy. How about that peace? You see, there's a peace with God. When you get saved, you raise a white flag and surrender and make that peace with God. But then there's a greater peace to be had called the peace of God. And too many people don't have the peace of God. A lot of people, those that are saved, have peace with God. But I'm just asking you, do you have the peace of God? You say, what's that? That means in the midst of the storm, you'll be sleeping in the bottom of the boat. In the midst of the storm, you can lay your head down on a pillow and rest in God. In the midst of trials and in the midst of tribulations, you won't fret, you won't worry, but you'll lay it all in the hands of the Savior. So what is that? That's the peace of God. You say, well, I don't understand that. I know. It's the peace of God that passeth understanding. You ever see somebody and say, boy, all the trouble they've had and all the things come down upon them, I just don't understand how they can be so peaceful. Brother Greg's talking tonight about Billy Bray. I can't remember his wife's name. Joey. That's right. I should always remember that because that's the name of my pastor's wife, or it's close enough to it, and that's why I should remember that. When his wife died, he was standing on the bed and running to the couch and running around the room. And, you know, maybe some of you would be praising God if your wife died, but maybe for a different reason. But he was praising God. And the preacher came in, he grabbed the preacher and hugged him and danced around the room with him and just about threw him everywhere. And he said, glory to God, Joey's home. Joey's going home. Glory to God, praise God. I don't understand that. That's peace, brother. That's peace. You see, we sorrow in death of a loved one, not as others which have no hope, but that's, I don't know how to put this, I'm just not good with words. We will sorrow, but there's a higher plane. There's a higher plane to be had. The average child of God will sorrow, but there is a higher plane that you can find. There's a higher plane you can press toward and get on. Well, nothing in this world can shake your confidence in God. You can attain that. You can strive to get to that. I think as Billy Sunday said, you can either go home first class or second class. He said, first class is Isaiah chapter 12. I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. And second class is Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You can go either way, but you'll go. But I'm just asking you tonight, what fruit have you brought to God today? Israel is an empty vine, bringeth fruit, forth fruit unto himself, according to the multitude of his fruit, that fruit that he brought to himself. He hath increased the altars. That's because this whole flesh is never, never satisfied. When you bring forth fruit unto yourself, you'll never be satisfied with what you have. You'll always increase them altars according to that fruit. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. A double-minded people. Now I'll tell you, you've got an unstable Christianity. I don't say all them radio preachers are lost. A lot of them are saved. I don't say all the TV preachers are lost. A lot of them are saved. But I'll tell you what, you have an unstable Christianity. I mean, you put them all side by side and line them up, you couldn't get nothing out of it. You'd have confusion. Wouldn't know where anybody stood. Wouldn't know where you stood. And I'll tell you the reason. Sometimes you're in and sometimes you're out. Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down because you have an unstable, an ungrounded, an unsettled Christianity. And the whole root is because you're not abiding in the vine. You're abiding in yourself. Said the heart is divided. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Ever been up? I wouldn't trust a double-minded man with my money. Why should I? He ain't going to spend it, right? He's unstable. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars.
he shall spoil their images. God believes in breaking some things. I do too. I remember when a fellow down in Birmingham, Alabama, Robbie Chancey, he got saved, a Catholic fellow, and I mean had all kinds of money and big old beautiful home. I was in there. When he got saved, it wasn't too long after, maybe a week, just a few days, Robbie Chancey got saved. He got to looking there and looked on his wall, and there was these pictures on the wall, and there's a statue in the house he bowed down to. Robbie said, I can't have them. Took them out in his backyard, busted them up. I'm not advocating you to go bust them up. He busted his own idols up. Tell you what, if you Baptists would start busting up your idols, you wouldn't have time to bust up everybody else's. Amen, Brother Harrison. More idols in the heart than there is out in the foyer anyway. The heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their image. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely, and making a covenant. How many times have you told God you're going to straighten up? How many times have you knelt down and told God, God, I'm going to do right, now I'm going to quit that. But you're just swearing falsely, and you knew deep down in your heart all you doing was salving your conscience. You thought you were salving it, but you was really searing it. And you got up and went about your business and still did the same old sin time after time after time. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because the calves of Beth-Aven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it. The priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. Amen. Don't put no trust in no its. It shall also be carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jacob. I'm reminded of that story of Laban. And he follows after Jacob and he said, hey, did you ever notice about that in Genesis? It says that Jacob stole away from Laban. By night he just stole away. Laban didn't know. And right there above that it says, and Rebekah stole some idols from Laban. That's why Rebekah and Jacob got hooked up. Birds of a feather flocked together. Oh, yeah. And Laban comes along and said, hey, you carried away my idols. What a funny thing to say. Listen, if I had a God you could carry away, I'd never let you know it was my God. Amen. Amen. If you could carry my God away somewhere, if my God's so weak and feeble, you can carry him away. I'm not going to admit it was my God. I'm just going to go on my way, whistle Dixie or something. It shall be also carried this year for a present to King Jared. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as a foam from the water. Got to get to the text. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars. And they shall say, the mountains cover us, and to the hills fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon a fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his claw. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. You want mercy, you got to sow righteousness. You can't get mercy and sow iniquity. Esau, bitterly, bitter tears, he sought repentance, but he didn't get it. Say why? He didn't sow in righteousness. Break up your fallow ground. God didn't say, I'm going to break it up. God told you to break it up. That old hard, cold, stony ground. Break it up. For it is time to seek the Lord. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity.
said it the other night, I want to re-emphasize it and say it again. All the problems, all the oppression, all the trouble coming down on God's people today is because God's people are reaping for the lives they've lived in the last 100 years. And you don't have to believe it, but it's the truth. You've eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled. God, listen to me. You can throw it out the window, what I'm going to tell you. But when it comes to pass, you'll know. God is going to shake this American Christianity. Going to shake it up before he takes it up. God's going to shake it up before he takes it up. Sure as I'm standing here, I'm praying for the rapture. If I'm wrong, I'll be the happiest man in this building. If I'm wrong, if the trumpet sounds and up I go tonight, I'll be the happiest man in this building. But sure as I'm standing here, the Lord tarries, God's going to shake this Christianity up. And all the fortresses, brother, let me tell you what he's going to do. I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to confiscate the buildings. And he's going to take the baptistries away from the Baptist, because they've been trusting in how many got baptized. Amen. And I believe you ought to be baptized. I believe you're saved and washed in the blood, then you ought to get baptized and show the world what God has done in you. But that ain't going to do nothing but get you wet, answer a good conscience, and show something to the world. But you can get dipped into that water, and unless you've been washed in the blood, you'll go to hell. Now, I'm not as concerned with how many getting baptized as I am with how many getting washed in the blood. And God's going to take away the fortresses and the ways of men trusting. And all over this country, they put out these big things. I'm not against your building. Praise God. Get that thing done. Get some use out of it. Praise the Lord. But I tell you, all over this country, there are churches in problems and troubles financially. Why, brother? Because they floated this, and they floated that, and they floated the other thing, and they're sinking. Well, they ain't floating nothing. They're sinking. Because they wouldn't trust God. Their eyes got bigger than what they really had. And instead of just going with what they needed, they want to have a big picture of this big building and big plant, this beautiful edifice, and what we... And they did it all for God, what they said. But I didn't believe them. God don't believe them. Now it's turned out that a lot of the congregations ain't believing what they're saying either. I believe in pastoral authority. I don't believe in pastoral worship. I believe in pastoral authority. I sure do. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of them guys, you got a good pastor here. A lot of them fellows are reaping what they sow because they've been lying to them folks for years and years and years. And God said, I'm just going to run you out of your buildings. And I'm going to run you out in the woods. And I'm going to run you down the basements. No lights. I'm going to run you down there where you won't be able to open your Bible. You couldn't read it. You'll just have to go by memory. That's good. When a great call is when you stand up and quote a verse, that's good. That's good. That'll keep you sharp. You're going to need that one of these days. Might be a little funny to you now, or just, you know, a little don't mean much now, but maybe one of these days you'll be down in the basement somewhere and somebody say, hey brother, you got a verse for us? Amen. You'll be needed then. Well, I hope you got one. You can be a real blessing then. You see, we don't always see the need for why God tells us to do some things now. Maybe you don't need to memorize some of them verses now, but wouldn't that be a terrible thing to be unprepared? David fought that lion, that bear, kept them flocks. What was all that for? For one battle. God was preparing David for one battle and one throne. Why I got to do all this? Because one day, David, you're going to have to fight Goliath. One day, you're going to rule over my people. Well, I don't know where we are. all the fortresses be spoiled. It's going to do it. It's going to do it. As Shalman spoiled Beth Arba on the day of battle, the mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. And shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness? So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In the morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. 97 verse 12, it's time to seek the Lord. Don't you suppose it's time? I'm just going to give you very quickly a few points. Israel is in great distress and trouble, and the enemy's about done away with them. They're surrounding them. They're no more a power. They've been ungrateful to God. Instead of abiding in the Lord God Jehovah, they abide in themselves and they live for themselves. Instead of glorifying God, they begin to glorify Israel. And they begin to glorify the things that they have instead of glorifying God. And Hosea comes along. And God told Hosea, he said, I want you to marry this harlot. What a strange thing. But you see, in the old days, Hosea, God told him prophets many times to do things as a living example and picture of the condition of his people. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I've been a musician all my life. God called me to preach. God put me in the ministry. I'm not on the same plane with Hosea, Isaiah, and Jeremiah, David. I don't even rank. Don't rank with Paul, nobody else. But you know why God called a crippled man to preach? I'll tell you why. Because his Christianity is all crippled up. That's why. It's all crippled up. That's all it is. That's why I'm here. And he said, it's time to seek the Lord. What are some indicators when we know it's time to seek the Lord? It's time to seek the Lord when Christians are unthankful, ungrateful. So, I'm so thankful to God for my salvation. If you was thankful, you'd work it out with fear and trembling. If you was thankful that God is working in you and going to perform it till the day of Jesus Christ, if you was thankful that you could be persuaded with Paul that what you committed, God would keep it till that day. If you was really grateful and thankful that you'd do all you could do to work it out. You say, how do I work it out? Simply by being obedient to God and allowing God to work in you. As you're obedient to God, that work shines out of you. And I tell you, when Christians quit showing a thankful, holy life, it's time to see God. It's time to see the Lord. Maybe we ought to close down. Maybe we ought to not go on. Maybe what we should do is just close down a meeting. And just everybody seek God. I don't know. But it's time to seek Him. You know it's true. It's time to seek the Lord. When Christians neglect their home duties. One of the sorriest things today, not the breakup of a home in the world, but the breakup of a home in Christianity. One of the sorriest, we joke about it. We joke about it. But I'm telling you something, there's no laughing matter. We joke about the women being bossy and the women not being, you know, quiet and loud and boisterous. We joke and laugh about it, and everybody gets a giggle out of it. And we joke about the men being this way. But I'm going to tell you something, it ain't no laughing matter. Marriage, as near as I can tell, was ordained for two things. Now, maybe there's more, but the reason for marriage is, number one, propagation. I mean, have kids. Multiply, replenish. That's a reason for it. That's a reason for marriage. And the next reason for marriage is because it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in his church. I'm going to tell you something. If the true picture is anything like the type, my God, the Lord sure has a rebellious bride. Amen, Brother Harrison. It's just not funny. It ceases to be funny. And yet we joke and laugh about it all the time. But God ordained the man to be the head of the home. He ordained that. Man was to be the head of that house. And the woman was to be in subjection, submission, complete obedience to that man. No woman that is not in obedience to her husband can ever say she's in obedience to God. Because the first thing God tells a woman, her first relationship with God, God says, all right, if you're going to yield to me, then I'm telling you, submit yourself to that man. That's what God said. Brother Harrison didn't say that. And you know where all the verses are. Titus and Timothy and Colossians and Ephesians and Hebrews and 1 Peter. Ladies, honest to God. God says, you want to be yielded to me? And you want me to control you? You want to be in total submission to me? Then you obey my commands. You say you love me. If you love me, you keep my commandment. And my commandment is, wives, submit yourselves and your own husband unto the Lord. Obey them in all things. And I tell you what, it's about time to seek the Lord, isn't it? Isn't it? And God said, husband, you love that wife. And be not bitter against her. And God said, you dwell with her according to knowledge. And you honor that weaker vessel. Hey, fellas, where'd you ever get the idea you were strong? You need to know a little English. I don't know much. But when God said the woman was the weaker vessel, then that means the man is the weak vessel. He didn't say that woman was the weak vessel. He said weaker. In order for her to be weaker, that means you're weak. Huh? And too many times you get proud and think you're strong. And then you foul up and mess up. No woman should ever rebel against her husband, but it ain't no wonder many of them do. Amen, Brother Harrison. It's time to seek God about these things, isn't it? No man can say that he's in total obedience to God if he doesn't love that woman as Christ loved the church. And if he doesn't dwell with her according to knowledge, doesn't honor her as a weaker vessel, he can't stand and say, I'm yielded to God. Because God said, all right, if you're yielded to me, if you're in obedience to me, then you honor that vessel, and you love that vessel, and don't you get bitter against that vessel. Amen? When the homes are not right, it's time to seek God. And the kids, my goodness, what mouthy kids. I don't care. You say, it's old-fashioned, Brother Harrison. Hey, the new-fashioned way doesn't work. When you're going to learn, it doesn't work. Got a bunch of girls and boys. Don't act like girls and boys. Trying to act like grown-ups. Mouthy kids. Can't keep quiet. The girls sound like boys and always got to shoot off their opinion and gab and talk. I'm going to tell you something. That Bible tells them to be quiet. Meek and quiet. Say, what's the matter, Brother Harrison? It's just time to seek the Lord. Just time to seek the Lord. I'm leaving out a lot of illustrations now. We don't need them tonight. It's time to seek the Lord. I grew up, and my daddy maybe was never no fireball for God or nothing. I don't know. He saved, and he tried to raise his family according to this book. And all I know is my daddy used to tell us, I mean, I'm talking about 15, 16, 17 years old. Company comes, them adults come in. You be quiet. You know something? The more you kids that learn to shut up and listen,
might save yourself some heartache and trouble instead of thinking you got all the answers and you have to be heard. If you learn just to be quiet, I'll tell you what I try to do. I don't always make it. But I get around older preachers, guys have been in the ministry a long time. I do my best just to be quiet. I get around Jack Wood and Homer Smith, and I get around Brother Lackey. I get around fellows like that, Don Green, and I'll tell you what, I get around, you know what I do? I sit down. I try to be quiet. I want to listen. I believe maybe they can save me some heartache. Maybe they can save me some problems and some trouble. Well, it's time to seek the Lord. See, we're just talking about practical things. I know you all theologically correct, as far as you know, you get the judgment seat in heaven, whatever's not right, get corrected, but I know you're pretty doctrinally sound here and all that, so I don't need to go into all that. But we're talking about practical things. It's time to seek the Lord when Christians are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. How would I know? Well, what do you like to do most of? Again, be balanced. I'm not saying it's wrong for Brother Eustep to play golf once in a while. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with fishing once in a while. Nothing wrong with I'm not excusing and trying to apologize what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, what do you want to do the most? Hey, God allows me to go fishing once in a while. And once in a while, I extend that allowance past what God allowed me, and that's when I get into trouble. I mean, God knows I could fish. My wife knows I could. We went one time, somebody paid our way to go for a week up in Thousand Islands. We got out there, and I mean, I was on that boat at 8 o'clock in the morning, come back in to take care of business, eat, and go back out. Come back in, you know, just sun going down. I mean, hey, I could fish all day long, 7 days a week. Yes, I could. We was having a honeymoon. I never could understand why she didn't take as much of a honeymoon together. I couldn't understand that. She kept talking like, boy, this is nice, honey, me, you, and the fish. So, I took her to Niagara Falls. Boy, they got a river up there. I didn't fish up there. Didn't even want to. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying when Christians become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, when pleasure takes place and precedence over the things of God, then it's time to seek the Lord. Amen. And I'm telling you, every child of God in here can and probably has at some time made an excuse to do something pleasurable or to buy something pleasant, have some pleasure over something that God wanted them to do. Well, it's time to seek the Lord. Let's just go on. It's time to seek the Lord when Christians won't bear a cross. We talked about this mind being used also in Christ Jesus and humbling yourself and dying. You can't get people to do that anymore. People don't want to do it. But don't you understand that there's no fruitfulness without death? You can't do it. You put that apple seed in the ground. You listen. You put that apple seed in the ground. And if that apple seed doesn't die, you're not going to get a tree. You put that corn of wheat down in the ground. If it doesn't die, you're not going to get life. Not going to get no wheat. Not going to get no corn. Not going to get no fruit. And the basic reason, if you're here tonight and you're never born fruit for God and you're saved, the basic reason, because you've never learned to die to yourself and die to the world and die to the devil. George Mueller got down on his knees and he said, Lord, I want to die to the opinions of the world and the opinions of the brethren and the opinions of George Mueller. I've been reading a book, a little fouled up, mixed up, but there's some good things in it about this guy called Seth Reeves, called him a warrior saint, old Quaker preacher. been reading that book. He said he just never got nowhere with God till he died to Seth Reed. And then he said the Lord said, all right, this death means, might mean that you might have to depart from some of the teachings of the Quakers. Are you willing to die to the doctrine of the Quakers? Let me lay one on. That death might mean you're going to have to die to some of the Baptist teachings that go around. I'm Baptist. I'm glad I'm Baptist. But I'll tell you what, them Baptists ain't always scriptural. Amen. The Christians won't bear a cross. Well, you just can't lay down and die and present that body a living sacrifice, which is just a reasonable. You're supposed to do it. Just a reasonable service. God's not asking you anything unreasonable. When God asks you to die and present yourself a living sacrifice and to die in Jesus Christ to your own wishes and wants and dreams and plans and schemes and what you want to be, I'll tell you what, God is not asking you to do anything unreasonable, and the commander-in-chief is not asking you to do anything he hasn't already done. You're able, in Christ Jesus, to follow the command. You're able to do it. Christians won't bear a cross. They want to wear them these days. But ain't nobody wants to bear one. They somehow think the cross of Christ is some kind of little velvet couch to lay at ease in Zion on. That's what they think it is. While the world dies and goes to hell. Hey, fellas, I prayed Brother Estep today. He don't tell me nothing, but he prayed, and we prayed today. I've said this in other places. They got institutes and good churches. You know what the purpose of this place is? The purpose of this place is to bring sinners in, get them saved, get them grounded, get them settled, and get them out. No preacher wants to lose his best folks, but that's the people who need to go. Get them out! And if you guys, some of you fellows aren't careful, you'll mill around and sit around and soak and get it all, and you'll get fat and lazy and sassy and out of the will of God and never go do anything with it. Now there's a time to sit and a time to learn, and a time to listen, and a time to get something from the man of God, and then there's a time to go. Or you sit, and you listen, and you get, and you soak it up, and then when God says go, you better go. Better go. This is not a society where we all come together and revel in all our Bible knowledge. No, we're supposed to be propagating. That's one of the big words. I do know what it means. Can't spell it. It's time to seek the Lord, and this maybe would go with a couple of these other things, but I just wrote it down. You can't make head or tail of my outlines. I can't half the time. When Christians are rejected, are neglectful of their duties, or when they do them half-heartedly. Well, okay. God says obey him. I'll obey. Good Lord, sister. Shoot yourself. Put everybody out of misery. Amen? Amen? Well, if I got a lover. Okay, here goes. Like I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I got a friend, you know, who told his wife, said, well, honey, if I had to have somebody to love, might as well have been you. That's the way about half of you feel about it, ain't it? Yeah, brother. See what I'm saying? Hey, you kids, come on now. You saved ones. Huh? You girls back there in that second row. Oh, God. It's science again. It's math. English. History. Hey, you too, boy. You going to school?
Yeah.
And that Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You say, that means my schoolwork. That means your schoolwork. That means your home duty. That means your church duty. That means your family office. That means whatever you do, do it like you're doing it for God, because you are doing it for God. Why, if you got to hold that thing and said, okay, Lord, help me love my wife for you, you'd be amazed. Help me obey my husband for you, God, because you paid for my disobedience on the cross. It'd help you. I said, we're not going to be long. We're not. We're almost done. Christians, they just do it half-heartedly. I turned down a meeting one time, a very good friend of mine, very close friend of mine. I helped him start his church. And some things happened, got fouled up, and another brother got in and stirred up some strife between us. And I didn't even know what was going on. And I was talking to this fellow on the phone. I said, look, brother, I said, that Bible says let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. I said, there's strife here. And really, you really don't want me coming, and I want to be there, but I don't want to come have no meeting with strife there. I said, look, let's just call off the meeting. Nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That'll work in the home. That'll work in the church house. That'll work on your job. Hey, that'll work. So how do you know? It's God's word. All right, it's time to seek the Lord when Christians have no concern. And that's such a light word. How about have no burden? How about have no lamentation over lost souls? So what's lamentation? Read Lamentation. Jeremiah lamented over his people. He said, oh, my eyes were rivers of water. God, I'm not burdened enough. I wish, God, my eyes and tears would just run like rivers. How many of us have grown cold and hard to souls dying and going to hell? I mean, even you may go soul and may knock on doors, but how many of us have done it with a broken heart? I tell you what, when you go soul winning and you talk to people about their soul with a broken heart, you'll not be so quick to argue with them. You'll not be so quick to prove your superior knowledge in a realm in which they'd have no knowledge anyway. They're lost. You'd not be so quick to revile back with a cute remark just because they might have cussed you out. I tell you, we're lacking real compassion, this Christianity I'm talking about. It's time to seek the Lord. You say, Brother Harrison, where's the sweet message we had? Last night. It was last night. And now it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord when there's a form of godliness, but no power. I tell you, I feel like sleeping through half the prayers in churches where I go. I do. I feel like just doing something else, getting my Bible out and reading or something. Most times people get to pray, there ain't no power, there ain't nothing there. A form of godliness. The Lord told you to worship Him in spirit and truth. He didn't say worship Him in the Sunday school building. Nothing wrong with the Sunday school building. Didn't say worship Him on Sunday morning. It said in spirit and in truth. What's that mean? That means building or no building, Sunday or Monday. That's what that means. When you have a form of godliness, you got the singing and you got the preaching, you got all the specials, you got the offerings and you got the building,
You got the special meat. But you've got no power in your own life, and you know whether you've got power or not. It's time to seek God. It's time to plug in. Well, we preached about heaven last night. It's time to seek the Lord when your love waxes cold toward heaven. It's time to seek the Lord when you tried everything else. And that's just about what we've done. I've always been one of them people. Lord knows I've been trying to change, been doing better, but I've always been one of them kind of people that gets the thing and tries to put it together without ever reading the instructions. And you know, you could probably save yourself half the time if you just sit down and read the instructions. I know you could. I know you could. I set up one night and put together one night a big train set. I put that thing together. It took me 5 hours to put together something that should take me 2 hours. You say, why? Because I didn't read the instructions till after 3 hours. When I read the instructions, it went together real good. I'm telling you something, people. It's time to seek the Lord, and you've tried everything else. You've tried bawling. You've tried squalling. You've tried crawling on your knees. You've tried rebelling. You've tried obeying. You've tried everything. Well, it's time to seek the Lord. My wife got a thing. What did I get her? I got her a set of curlers. Is that what it was? Did you ever learn how to use anything yet? I got her a set of curlers. I'll tell her, this ain't a bad one, honey. And she's trying to fix them, and it wouldn't come out right or anything, and she kept trying. I said, honey, did you read the instructions? Well, kind of like Jacob and Rachel, birds of a feather flock together. me and brother, really mostly him, putting this water heater in, and but at this one, I have to take half blame because I was with him. And we was reading about how to adjust that pilot flame on there. And so we was adjusting it this way and that way. And said, boy, you know, and the pilot kept going out. Finally got fixed today. And the problem was where the adjustment is, there's just this little cap that goes over the adjustment. All we was doing was adjusting the cap that goes over the adjustment. When all else fails, try following directions. Your Christian life just fails, why don't you just try following directions? You say, yeah, but then, you know, step one, step two. I know. It gets tedious, and it's just, that's what it is. It's just discipline. I don't like to read directions because I've never disciplined myself to read directions. That's right. But you got to do it. Got to do it. One time, one of my teachers gave a test, and I'm going to give one more point, man, we'll be done, less than an hour. But that's about all you all take anyway. Gave a test, and on that test, has a regular stuff, you know, name, put in your name and grade, and then had all the problems down there. And right underneath where it said put in your name, it said, after you put your name on this paper, do not work any problems and turn the paper in. Everybody in the class flunked that test. You say, why? Nobody read the directions. You're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And you say, Lord, I tried this and I tried that, and Lord, I did this. God said, why didn't you seek in the book of the law? Why didn't you try the directions? Now, if you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, I want to read this and I will be done. Let me say this tonight. If you're here and you're lost and you've never been saved, this is for you. Your life's full of trouble and sorrow and woe. You've tried everything in this world. It's time to seek the Lord. I tried it. I spent years in the bars. I've tried booze. I've tried the rock and roll and the disco and the country and the jazz and the Dixieland and the blues.
I tried to wind the women in the song. I tried the French restaurants. I tried the Far Eastern restaurants and the Indian restaurants. And they got it all out in Los Angeles. But you know something? Vanity of vanity, say the preacher. All is vanity. Man of his best state, the best man can do, is altogether vanity. And you've tried everything, and you still got that old empty void down inside. You still got that old hole, that tug down inside. You tried it all. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to begin to seek God. And if you'll seek him, he'll find you. He'll find you. It's time to seek the Lord. In Proverbs 1 and verse 24, verse 22, wisdom is crying, but Jesus Christ is wisdom personified. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he made unto us wisdom, and in him all the treasures of God are hid. In verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make known my words unto you. If you turn to God tonight, if you're lost, the Lord would give you his spirit. If you turn to him, and you begin to understand what this old book's all about. Because I've called and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Are you listening? God's calling to you. Calling you if you're lost. And he said you wouldn't, and you refused. He said, okay, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. It's time to seek the Lord while he may be found. You see, in the book of Revelation, when all that destruction's coming, it said those men didn't repent and turn to God. They cried out to the mountains and the hills. And they said, fall on us. And we read that in our passage in Hosea. And it said they didn't turn to God, not in Revelation. Now when God brought down all that destruction, they didn't turn to God. What'd they do? They shook their fists in the face of God, and they cursed God. I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's time to seek the Lord while he may be found. You may one day turn to seek God. Maybe. Maybe you just won't be able to get to it. I don't know all there is to know about that. I know they go to Genesis 6, my spirit and all their strive, but I know that passage don't apply to what I'm saying. But I'll tell you what, I've sat in the living room with a 28-year-old boy. I personally sat there, tripping out on something. And I sat there with him. I said, Greg, you need to be saved. We talked a half hour. And I said, you want to be saved? Yes. And I said, I'll help you. I'll help you pray, Greg. But it's got to come from your heart. Do you mean it? He said, I'll mean it. And we began to pray. And I said, Lord. And Greg said, Lord. I said, I know I'm a sinner. And Greg's head down there and began to shake. He said, I need something. I said, Greg, you need God. We tried again. I said, Lord. He said, Lord. I said, I know I'm a sinner. He said, I just need something. an hour. I cried. I left that home, and that boy just headed to hell. Couldn't call on God. Mind burnt out, brain gone. Couldn't do it. Hey, said back there about them people, said they returned, but not to the Most High. Seek the Lord while he may be found. I'm telling you, there's something to that. There's something to that. You're here and you're lost. God says, come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Come now, not tomorrow. Come now. You may not have tomorrow. You may wake up like a rich man died and went to hell. You may wake up tomorrow morning in the fires of hell, and you might seek God in hell, but he'll not be found. Child of God, you're going to mess around and mess around and rebel and rebel. One day you're going to turn, and you may not get all the way back. It's time to seek the Lord. You say, what's the prerequisite? Break up that pile of ground you got. Cast out them strange gods that are among you. Sow in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You keep seeking and seeking and seeking till he come. Father, thank you tonight for the time we've had in thy word. Time we've had, Lord God, it's been a blessing. Lord, I just want to say that I'm thankful that whenever I've sought you, you have been there. Lord, I know, Lord God, like that old prodigal son, when he came home, the father was waiting for him to come home. The father was looking for him. The father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He said, put a robe on the ring on his finger and kill a fatted calf and let's make merry. Lord, I know if your people turn to thee, God, you'll give us, you'll rain righteousness and you'll give us revival. I know it in my heart. Lord, I pray there's one lost soul here tonight, never been saved, never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, I pray tonight that they'd seek thee. The Lord, you said, whosoever will may come.